This episode is made possible by Nielsen. Behind every good decision is great data, because when you're prepared, there are no surprises. Empower your decision-making with Nielsen's 2024 Upfronts and New Fronts Guide. You can head to Nielsen.com for more information.
It's not just TikTok. There will be something else. There will be other things, including the new OpenAI search engine that is going to take potentially market share away from Google as well. So again, you're just going to see a lot more players in virtually every market, from digital video to search.
Hey gang, it's Monday, March 11th. Jasmine, Jeremy, and listeners, welcome to Behind the Numbers Daily, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Nielsen. I'm Marcus. Today I'm joined by two folks. We meet them immediately. We start by introducing our principal analyst covering everything social media, based in California. It's Jasmine Emberg.
Hey Marcus. Hey everyone.
Hello there. Also joined by someone on the other coast in New York City. He is the senior director of briefings for us. It's Jeremy Goldman.
Happy almost Ides of March. Looking forward to this one.
Oh, I should have known you were going to come out with something like this. Jeez. Thanks, Jeremy. Today's fact. This can't be true. A day on Venus, the planet, is longer than a year.
What?
Right? Exactly. So I'll try my best to explain. So the Royal Museums of Greenwich gave it a go. And I think I get it, but I still don't quite believe it because it's just so amazing. So it takes Venus longer to rotate or spin once on its axis than to complete one orbit of the sun. So a day is obviously when the world spins round, and a year is when it goes once round the sun. And so it takes 243 Earth days to spin once. That's Venus. It's the longest rotation of any planet in the solar system. And 18 fewer Earth days, 225, to complete an orbit of the sun.
My head hurts.
I know.
Same.
Did that make sense? Probably not.
It actually, it makes sense. Like, I can see how it theoretically makes sense, is
right,
what I'm trying
okay.
to say. But does it make right. sense in my brain?
Yeah,
that's
I'm right there with you, yeah. Anyway, today's real topic, how TikTok has changed and is changing. In today's episode, first in the lead, we'll cover TikTok. Then for another news, we'll check in on the Threads versus X battle and how Snapchat is trying to reposition itself. We start, of course, with the lead and talking about a ton of TikTok-related stories. And we'll start with a piece in The Atlantic by Carolyn Mims Nice, stating that you're looking at TikTok all wrong. The idea that it's just all dancing, lip-syncing teens is horribly out of date, she says, and that the TikTok of today is more like a cable TV giant or a streaming service crushed into an endlessly scrolling feed. So we'll start with that question, Jasmine. Is TikTok, should it be looked at more as bite-sized TV? And overall, what did you think of the piece?
I actually really liked this piece, and I think it encapsulated really well how TikTok has transformed over the past couple of years. And using the UMG TikTok standoff as an example, I think was really smart. Mm. When UMG pulled its music off of TikTok, I had so many people reach out to me and say, is TikTok dead? And my answer was, TikTok will be just fine. And lo and behold, TikTok is just fine, at least by this account. And that's because it isn't an app that's just about dancing and lip syncing, although that's still part of it. There's plenty mm-hmm. of other content and behaviors that are happening on the platform. But what I think was the most interesting and spot on part of this article was actually how she ended it, where she said that TikTok doesn't actually need many of its users to be creating content. It just needs us to sit back and scroll or something along those lines. And that's so true. TikTok doesn't need everybody to be creating content, but the people who are creating content, TikTok really needs. And those people, of course, mm-hmm. are creators. And yesterday I was at TikTok's Creator Summit here in LA, which was really focused on long form video, which, you know, Marcus, you and I have talked a lot about, and how TikTok is pushing really heavily into that space. And the whole event was really geared around helping particularly larger creators pivot more towards long form video and giving them strategies for optimizing that. And that to me was just a clear indication of how essential these creators are to TikTok in order to make this long video push work. And long video, of course, is essential for TikTok to build itself into an entertainment powerhouse that can take on the likes of TV or streaming. Mm-hmm. Because of course, it is already entertainment, at least in the social space.
And I, by the way, Marcus, I agree with Jasmine partially, I will say. You know, I told her, be willing to fight, put your dukes up. But
I'm ready.
So, you know, we worked on a piece together on this topic and, you know, we were kind of talking about like, should YouTube even be in the title? And Jasmine was like, no, it's not part of the story. I was like, I actually think that it is part of the story. So I'll bring it up here, because if you look at average time spent per day with a select digital media platforms, you know, we have a whole lot of different things that we benchmark against one another. And TikTok, 18 minutes a day, you know, total as an average, you know, for 2024. YouTube, 36 minutes, you know. So obviously, this is something that I think some of these enhancements and these changes are meant to push TikTok a little bit more in direct competition with YouTube, simply because you do need longer content if you want more monetizable time on the platform. And TikTok, let's not forget, the last few years has grown so dramatically that if you want to keep up the pace of advertising growth, which you're not going to do no matter what, but if you want a chance at being able to do that, you really do have to have more total hours rather than more total assets. Because there are a lot of lurkers on TikTok who don't create content, but they want to consume it. So in that sense, you know, yeah, I feel like all these platforms are converging and really competing with one another, you know? So that's, I think, a really interesting trend to watch.
Well, let me be clear first, because I didn't say YouTube wasn't part of the story. I said that it's bigger than just YouTube, right? So TikTok does have to compete with YouTube, but it's also angling to compete with, you know, TV and entertainment at a much broader scale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really quickly, UMG is Universal Music Group, just for folks who weren't familiar with that acronym. Yeah, it's... Jeremy, you mentioned a lot of people on TikTok who are just there to hang out. And Jasmine, you referenced that line where she talks about kind of just sit back and watch. And there was a study by Pew, which we just reviewed for this episode, showing about half of users have never posted. So they're just purely to consume content. And yeah, the study was put out from Pew looking at how US adults use TikTok. So Jeremy, I'll start with you. What was one of the most interesting findings from this research for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the key things that is really interesting is that when you think about social media, right, and again, everything's converging, there's some things that are a lot more inherently social than others. There are some platforms where most people are just, you know, like I said, they want to be consuming content and treat it a little bit like Netflix. And for platforms like that, and I say TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, those are always going to need to fight for UGC. You know, they need more and more user-generated content and high-quality content. And even though a lot of creators are spending time developing content across platforms, you want to make it easier and more turnkey to create as much content as possible for your particular platform in order to win, because then, you know, it becomes just a more vibrant creator economy ecosystem that you are really in charge of as a platform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the most interesting part for me was actually the stat where it said the most active 25% of TikTok users are creating 98% of the content. And I actually thought that was really high. I would have thought it would have been a much smaller share creating content.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Oh, you thought 25%?
I thought 25%. Yeah, because if you think back to a platform like Twitter, now X, obviously, but when they were releasing some of their stats, it was something like the top 10% were creating, you know, 98% of content. So 25% in that comparison was just, it was really high for me.
Yeah, I actually wrote that down as well. I was, because same was true for Twitter. Pew had a study a few years back. And it was pretty much exactly that, 10% creating, it was 80 or 90%. It's basically all of the content. So 25% was quite, especially considering their videos. It's not, you know, they're harder to create, you can argue, than just, you know, typing a few words and hitting send.
Although getting a good tweet is really hard. I would not say that's a low lift.
That's true. Let's talk about how folks are using TikTok and how that's changing. Jeremy, you recently wrote about how younger people in particular are using TikTok more and more and more and more to search for things.
it's one of those really fascinating things to think about, is that search has just really moved into so many different areas that we didn't previously think about, right? I mean, how often do people just ask their smart speakers, Alexa, please tell me so-and-so, and then they get an answer, right? That is, you know, some piece of search that was nothing really a decade ago. And I think that, you know, the same thing happens really from a social discovery standpoint, particularly for certain categories, they over-index. Like if you're looking for recipes, people are less likely to use Google now. They're more likely to go to TikTok. And this tends to be something that we see like generational differences, you know? So for instance, nearly 10% of Gen Z users now prefer TikTok over major search engines like Google when they're looking for information overall, which I think is obviously like a portend of things to come because it's not just TikTok. There will be something else. There will be other things, including the new OpenAI search engine that is going to take a potentially market share away from Google as well.
Yeah. I think that's right. I mean, search is diversifying and it's also a lot more diverse actually within the social space too than a lot of these headlines make it seem. We talk so much about young people searching on TikTok, but we ran a study last year that actually showed that Gen Z prefers YouTube over TikTok for search. So they're using a lot of different platforms, even within social to search. And I think Jeremy's point about what they're searching for is so valid because, you know, they're not necessarily performing the same kind of searches that they might do on a Google or an Amazon, but they're looking things up that they want more visual, engaging, interactive, or crowdsourced results for.
Yeah, zooming out away from young people and looking at the entire population. Jeremy, I think in that piece, you had some research from Jungle Scout. I think it was a September research, and it was pointing to where folks start their online shopping searches, all people, not just young people. Amazon, unsurprisingly, number one, 50%. Then Google, or search engines, but mainly Google, 40%. Walmart, 34%. And then YouTube, which Jasmine mentioned, particularly popular among younger folks, and also Facebook rounding out the top five places. But folks are just as likely to start their shopping search on TikTok, according to this research, as they are to start it on Instagram or Target.com. All those three had about 16%. And it's actually, they're all 4 points ahead or higher than Pinterest. Target.com is the sixth largest online shopping company or retailer in the US. It's way, now everyone is way, way behind Amazon. So there's a big gap between sixth and first. But still, for it to be on par with Target in terms of where you start your shopping search, I think it's pretty significant. And Instagram as well, to be honest. Speaking of shopping, is TikTok's e-commerce bet making TikTok worse? This was a question asked by Daniel Konstantinovich and Zach Stambor, noting that TikTok's user growth began to slow around the same time that the social app leaned into e-commerce, launching TikTok Shop. According to Sensor Tower data reported in TechCrunch, they explained that the short video app began testing TikTok Shop in the US in November of 2022, adding more brands throughout last year before successfully launching in September of 2023. But Daniel and Zach write that the marketplace has been riddled with low quality and counterfeit goods, turning off some users, with creators complaining that the platform's emphasis on shopping turned the social app into a quote-unquote ad-filled wasteland, according to Business Insider, with Redditors arguing TikTok Shop ruined the app. Jasmine has it.
People love to complain whenever a social platform introduces new features. And a lot of times that angst and that anger around it tends to settle down and it becomes part of the overall shopping experience. And I don't think people were, you know, necessarily more frustrated about TikTok Shop Marketplace. It's a separate tab. I think what they were annoyed about was the influx of sponsored content and TikTok Shop ads. And that, to me, is partially because TikTok Shop launched at a really opportune time. It was during the holiday season, so people are shopping a lot more. Inevitably, there's going to be a lot more content that can lead to a decrease in time spent, and we've seen that. I do think that that's probably going to be temporary, although what Jeremy noted is correct. We are seeing TikTok start to plateau overall in terms of time spent on the app, but that's natural. We're already spending so much time there, so it's inevitably going to slow down. So no, I don't think it's ruining the app. I think there's a lot happening that is going to make it a lot more seamless to have these shopping experiences, whether that's things like recommended products or even search advertising, which I think TikTok is going to push really deeply into this year, or product placement, which I've been reading about a lot with Gen AI companies really finding ways for brands to be able to seamlessly put that content or those products into content. So yeah, people are angry. Do I think TikTok Shop is ruined? No. And I'm going to say the same thing I said to the people who asked about UMG and TikTok. TikTok is going to be just fine.
And even though it will, I agree there. You know, my good friend Regina George once said, stop trying to make fetch happen. And I think that you can try a little bit too hard as a platform to make something happen that the user is not necessarily begging for. And it is true that in the short term, they're not going to be ready for it and they might be complaining and then they get used to it, you know? So at launch time, you know, I think it's fair to say that the user experience was not necessarily completely well thought out. There were a lot of issues. They were trying to get ready for the holidays. And, you know, do I trust them to figure it out over the long term? All signs point to yes. But was it like a smashing success, you know, out the gate? You know, most signs point to not really. So it remains to be seen, but, you know, more optimistic outlook in the long term.
There are some folks who are saying TikTok Shop may have affected user growth. There were some results from a Captive 8 study, which tracked with data from Sensor Tower, showing TikTok's user growth slowing around the time it began leaning into e-commerce. But Jasmine, you mentioned kind of the inevitability of a slowdown eventually because you can only grow so much. And yeah, my question after I read this was TikTok hitting a ceiling anyway? I went and looked at some of the growth numbers because overall growth 2021 was 30%. And in 2022, it dropped to 10%. So it shows quite a slowdown. At the end of 2022 is when TikTok Shop started to exist, it started to mess around with it. However, by 2021, 70%, 70, of Gen Z smartphone owners were on TikTok. That's the same share of young people who are using Instagram. And nearly half of millennials were also on TikTok. So I think maybe they were just hitting a ceiling already and this coincided with TikTok Shop. Did it have no effect? Probably not. Probably had some. But I think it might be a bit overblown in terms of how bad it's been for the platform.
And really importantly, Marcus, those users were already shopping on TikTok even before TikTok Shop was launched, right?
Right.
So for me, the most important thing in making something stick is having an organic trend or organic content. And you think about, you know, back in 2022 when hashtag TikTok made me buy it was the biggest thing that had happened to social commerce. But it's a really good example of how, you know, there was a lot of the shopping behavior already happening. And I agree with Jeremy, you can't force a change in consumer behavior. But if anyone is going to make this happen, it's going to be TikTok because it already has that prowess within shopping through this organic kind of trends and content.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, they look like they're expecting huge growth this year, aiming to generate nearly $18 billion in US GMV this year. That's 10 times what it pulled in last year, gross merchandising value. That's according to Bloomberg. And then final point here, this is a really good point made by Rachel Wolf, who writes for our retail briefing, saying maybe it can become a product-specific marketplace. You know, the idea that it doesn't have to sell everything. Rachel was noting that certain categories, most notably beauty, she says, are performing strongly. The most popular item on TikTok Shop was Guru Nanda Coconut and Mint Pulling Oil, selling over 100,000 units a week. And she was saying, as of November, TikTok Shop was the US's 12th largest beauty and personal care e-commerce retailer, according to a study by Dash Hudson and Nielsen IQ. So maybe it's really popular for some categories, less for others, but that's also fine. It's a fine way to, you don't have to sell everything. All right, folks, that's all we've got time for the first half of the show. Time for the second half of the show today in other news. The significance of Threads surpassing X in daily downloads and Snap trying to distance itself from social media. Story one, Threads surpasses X, formerly Twitter, in daily downloads as it mulls its identity, according to App Figures and TechCrunch, writes our Daniel Konstantinovich. He thinks this marks a turning point in the conflict over which network could be the dominant text-based social media and news platform. Jeremy, do you agree? If yes or no, why?
No, I mean, I think that there's a lot of signs that point to more engagement on Threads, which is, you know, something that we look very closely to, not just the total number of downloads, right? Because, of course, you've got a lot of people who have downloaded X already. But that being said, there are a lot of people who have X already downloaded and just haven't opened the app in quite a while versus all of these new Threads users who they now have tripled the daily downloads of X on iOS and about roughly double the number on Google Play. So I think that this is a portent of, you know, good things to come, especially when you think about Threads launching an API, I believe, in June. And then you have a few other exciting things that they're working on versus X doesn't necessarily have the money to invest in some of the things that could bring some users back to the platform.
Yeah. Story two. Jasmine, you recently wrote that Snap is distancing itself from social media, but it still must compete for social ad dollars. Snapchat launched a new brand campaign featuring a Super Bowl ad using the slogan, "Less social media, more Snapchat." Jasmine, why is Snapchat trying to reposition itself now? And will we see the other social media players start to try and distance themselves from the category in a significant way?
This isn't the first time that Snap has released this kind of messaging, but it is its most aggressive push yet. You mentioned the Super Bowl ad. It also ran an ad in the Grammys, and it's going to continue with ad placements in many different places going forward. And the reason it's pushing this so significantly right now, in my opinion, is because there's so much consumer and lawmaker momentum around youth safety, particularly on social platforms. And so it's a really good moment for Snapchat and the rest of social media to try to distance themselves from some of these problems. And Snapchat has a point. It is unique in the social space, but just because it's, you know, primary focus or core use cases messaging doesn't necessarily make it safer. And it certainly doesn't make it easier for it to be able to bring in ad dollars.
Yeah. That's all we've got time for, folks. Thank you so much to my guests. Thank you to Jasmine.
Thank you.
Thank you to Jeremy.
Great to be with you guys.
Thanks to Victoria, who edits the show, the rest of the podcast crew, James, Stewart, and Sophie. Thanks to everyone for taking time to listen in today. We hope to see you tomorrow for the Behind the Numbers Daily, an eMarketer podcast made possible by Nielsen.